Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, North Texas. RJ Choppy clapping in the background. I'm Pat Doney from NBC5 filling in for Sean this morning, who is out with the allergy bug, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, what kind of allergy bug it may be. I don't know what allergy bugs are, but...
hope he feels better. You know, the Dallas Mavericks played their first preseason game last night.
Wait, is that what you're starting with? Do you know what time it is, Pat?
What time is it?
Look what time it is.
It's 9:01.
Oh, dude, do you know what that means?
Tell me what it means.
That means starting this hour, your first chance to win $1,000.
I knew that.
It's the national contest. Happens every hour, and we do it all day long here at 105.3 The Fan. We have it with us, with Ben and Skin, G-Bag Nation. Every hour, we're going to give out a word. You're going to text that word at 72881 for your chance to win a grand. It's awesome. Now, we're not doing it right now.
No,
we're going to
of
do
course.
It like in this. I just wanted to tease
in
you.
In this hour?
Yeah, I just wanted to tease you, much like RJ when he gets teases driving up and down, you know, Harry Hines.
Whoa.
But sometime this hour, I'm going to give you a code word.
Now, hang on a second. Hey. It was at the gas station at 360 in Lamar.
Whatever.
It only happened one time.
Whatever. I saw you talking to.
Unnecessary shot. In a little drive-by. Yeah. Right there.
I saw you talking to quote-unquote Nancy.
That gas station's gone now. It was a Fina.
Enjoying his 9:02 a.m. chocolate chip cookies here.
All right, let's
get things going.
Let's get back and talk to Mr. Protein that you want to talk about.
Mr. Protein, indeed. Yeah. I mean, how about what Porzingis looks like, first of
Man.
All, this offseason?
Yeah.
The dude is jacked all of a sudden.
I don't know where he's spending more time, at the gym or Palm Beach Tan. He looks good.
He's
he
ready
looks
for
great.
A huge year. Yeah. I cannot wait for the Mavericks season to get going. They played last night their first preseason game, a loss against Oklahoma City, but Luka and Porzingis did not play in the game. Roy and I were still locked in on the game, though, a little bit, watching it. I think the future
for a half.
Is bright. Yeah, I had it on and just kind of keeping my eye on it. They play again tonight against Detroit. Maybe tonight's the night that we see Luka and Porzingis. Fingers crossed, we'll see. But the point is that Porzingis seemed to create this new category, right? Everybody now uses the term in the NBA for the freak big men in the NBA, the guys who can do a little bit of everything. He was the first unicorn, is what it was referred to as. Mm-hmm. Well, the Ringer came out with a list of the top six unicorns. They have six of them in the NBA currently, and then they ranked them in a number of categories, including things like passing, defensive play, and where they could be at the end of the year and how they would rank them going forward, the forecast of the next wave to come, if you will. And so, first and foremost, you guys didn't look at the article.
No.
And you were going to and wanted to guess who the six unicorns in the NBA are right now, and then after that, we will talk about where they rank in the NBA. So,
all right.
Go ahead.
So, my guesses on the other unicorns that in the league would be, I assume Giannis is one of them.
You've got it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Roy?
I will take Anthony Davis.
You've got it. That's
right.
Two of them.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Joel Embiid.
How about that? 3 for 3. It's getting a little tougher now.
We don't even watch the NBA.
Karl Anthony Towns.
Hey,
oh, we're 4 for 4.
We got a cat sighting.
Let's go. One more to go.
We did not read this article, by
one
the way.
One more.
One more, because, well, there's six, and Porzingis is obviously one of
all
the
right.
six.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
better
so
be one
we have
of the
Giannis,
six.
Anthony Ooh. Davis, Joel Embiid, Karl Anthony Towns, Kristaps Porzingis. Who was the final
I mean,
one?
I guess you could say Luka is a uni.
No, sir.
I will get
Joker?
I'm thinking it's big men, and I would guess Jokic.
You yeah. got it!
RJ nailed wow. it, man. If it's not Luka, it's Jokic.
It's Jokic.
And if you're asking if I would trade Kristaps for any of those five straight up,
you would take all of them,
yeah.
Except for maybe Cat. I don't know.
I would
Cat's
do
a tough one.
I would do all five.
I see the thing with Embiid that scares me, and I guess there's some of this with Porzingis.
I was going to say if you're going to
injury thing,
you're going to knock
fair.
His foot.
Yeah. Yeah,
you got to knock Porzingis.
I think did it a little longer, maybe, than NBA.
By the way, I'm surprised they didn't include Kevin Durant in the unicorn. And AutoFlexStation Fantex is saying that same thing as well. You know that Kevin Durant gave him that nickname, right?
I did not know that, actually. I missed where it came from.
Let's be real. LeBron's a unicorn.
Well, sure.
Okay, I mean, there's Luka.
I get it.
Yeah.
But the unicorn apparently is referred to now.
Big shooting men
who do a little bit of everything. So Durant would fit into it technically because he's probably 7 feet.
Right.
From the 4'6'3", no Boban.
Yeah, Boban is awesome, man.
God, he is fun to watch, man. He is instantly.
So, who's
going to
the number one unicorn in the NBA?
Got to be Giannis.
Boom, easy. Yeah.
And you're trading loot. You're trading Porzingis for Giannis, straight
every
up,
day.
Without even questioning it. Right. You don't even let them hang up the phone.
Okay, then who's number two?
Anthony Davis for me.
Yeah, Anthony Davis.
You got it. Number three.
Three, I would say, is Joker.
I would say Jokic, yeah.
No. He's number four on the list.
Okay.
Embiid is number three on their list.
Yeah, look, I mean, Roy's right. If you're going to bring up the health of Embiid, you got to bring it up a Porzingis.
That's fair. I get it.
And on the surface, Embiid's probably a little better. I don't think it's that big of a difference. I don't think Embiid's better than Jokic.
Okay.
I mean, dude, Joker, what he does... He's a monster.
I think Embiid's ceiling is a little higher than Jokic's, is what I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
So right now, yes, I would take Jokic if it was for this season.
Yeah,
but for the long term, I think Embiid, no question.
I agree.
Jokic is four. Obviously, Karl Anthony Towns comes in at number five. Porzingis wraps it up at number six. So the creator of the unicorn
is not even the unicorn.
Is not even in the top five unicorns in the NBA today. And that's before I think he has a chance to have a phenomenal season this year.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's disrespectful to leave him out of the top five. I don't know that I'd have Karl Towns. Again, I don't watch Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. So, neither do they.
Don't think of him as like a unicorn?
I just don't think of him.
Yeah.
I mean.
They kind of blend in a little.
They've always, I mean, Skin will tell you this.
He's a beta.
They have. Oh, wow. I like that. They have disappointed. Like, they were supposed to be the next team on the rise, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And what have they done? They've done nothing.
That would be nothing. By the way, there's the group of the next best unicorn listed here as well. Three of them on the list. The number one next best unicorn. This should be easy. Come on.
Next best unicorn.
After the six?
The guys coming in, you know, after the six.
Zion.
Yeah, Zion's number one.
Okay.
Jaren Jackson second. And Pascal.
I was going to say Siakam. I was about to say Siakam. Yeah.
Siakam. Yeah, he was awesome last year, man.
Yeah,
what a great run.
He was.
In general, though, clearly Porzingis a huge key for the Mavericks season this year. And what I want to know is the expectation that you have for the team going into the season. Because I find myself, you're going to be shocked to hear this.
Oh. But it's
shocked to hear it.
Hang on.
Let me guess.
This is going to be their best year yet.
No. Not quite that positive.
Okay. From the start, it's only going to get better at the end of the season.
Well, I do think they're going to be better than they were last night.
Oh, okay.
You know, I have expectation. I think this team has a chance to be really good. Because not quite two seed, because the West is insane. But I do think they could be in that 4-5 range because they have a couple of guys who are sneaky. All right? Like, I think Seth Curry is a solid role player. I think Justin Jackson has a chance to kind of really take a big jump. I chatted with him this offseason at a camp at Colleyville Heritage High School. And, you know, he made a huge jump from year two to year three in college at North Carolina. And the coaches are kind of saying the same thing about him this season. And he looked good last night.
Little Birdie told me that Justin Jackson could be in the starting lineup for the Mavericks. And by Little Birdie, I mean Skin.
Okay.
I just talked to him in the
hallway.
Well, he has plenty of birdies all over the place. So I trust what he's saying.
He's got a stable of birds.
And then Luka has just, I mean, speaking of Skin, I was just talking to him in the break right now. Luka is just scratching the surface. I mean, I really think that he has a chance to explode and take off to another stratosphere.
Well, he is an explosive player. There's been no argument about that, at least not on this show. We wouldn't
argue
that.
He's explosive in... Oh, God. Here we go. Roy seems to think he could win the dunk contest if he wanted to.
I know he could. He was throwing down 360s as a 16-year-old, okay? If he wanted to, he absolutely could, but he's like LeBron. He doesn't need to do that. He just does it when he needs it.
All right,
word that starts with a positive word that starts with R to give you something, Roy. You know, right.
So they won 33 games last year. To say that they would be like the four seed, that's probably going to put them in the 50-win mark?
Yeah, four,
that's
five.
A big jump, man. Sure. 17 wins. I don't know that that's even that you can do that.
You know,
I would say to me, a successful season, honestly, is do something they haven't done in 8 seasons. Eclipse your win total projection.
Wow. What's the win total projection for this season now?
Currently at the Westgate, it is 42.5.
42.5.
Just get higher than that.
So that's.
But other places?
They have 400.
FanDuel, DraftKings, all at 40. 40.5.
So they have right at the 500 mark.
Right. And I think that's fair. This is a team that could be anywhere from 7 to 10. I think a good year for them, a super year for them, is the 7th seed.
Okay.
Yeah, that is their ceiling, right?
The ceiling?
Is that what you put it right?
No, I think the difference between what will ultimately be the 4th seed and the 9th seed could be
the 3-4 games.
The difference of 6 games, you know, 5 games.
You know what? It's going to be health. I mean, honestly, it's going to be the difference between the 4th seed and the 9th seed, because if Porzingis plays 70 games this year, if they do the load management, you know, and have him sit 12 games, which I could see, which would be smart, and then he doesn't miss a bunch of games because of injury, that could be the difference between being a 5 seed and being a 9 seed. If he misses 10, 15 games because of injury as well, obviously that's going to impact their ceiling in a huge way.
Rockets, Jazz, Clippers, Nuggets, Lakers. I don't think you can put them ahead of any of those 5.
Yeah, I mean.
I just don't know that you can do that. And then you got to factor in what is Golden State and what is Portland. And Portland is a team that, I mean, they're.
Yeah, they're good.
What are they?
They're good. Very good. They're very good. And then we don't know about the Spurs. Yeah. Spurs just seem to always.
Golden State is, like you mentioned just a second ago, Golden State's that team that's kind of like floating out there where it's like everybody's just like, oh, yeah, they're done.
Yeah.
And
here they come.
Could you not just see them and all of a sudden it's like February and you're like, dang, man, Golden State is good again.
D'Angelo Russell's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I think he's going to fit into their style and system better than KD did.
He might.
He's going to move the ball more than KD did.
Good.
And there's one other team that is behind the Mavericks. I think they're behind the Mavericks for sure, but scare the daylights, and that's Sacramento.
Interesting.
I thought you were going to say Memphis.
Memphis scares me too, but Memphis,
the West,
that's because of John Morant.
Like, they're probably still too young.
They're probably still too young, but they're a team that, like, I don't think you want to play in February and March.
You
want to get them early, but you get the later part of the season.
The feeling and surrounding this team, though, I mean, you guys agree, and I'm curious what the fan textures have to say about this too. There does seem to be like a buzz about this team right now. There does seem to be like this swell of momentum that obviously winning is going to have to maintain, right? I mean, if they're, 10 games under 500 in the middle of February, then people are not going to be going to games, that much. And it's not going to be this huge talking point. But there is an opportunity right now for, I feel like, for the Mavs to kind of grab a little bit, because this Luka Porzingis factor is out there. The intrigue is about as high as I can remember since back when I first arrived, when they were making the playoffs every year before it was like the 8th seed and out every year.
Yeah, when they, last decade before they won the title, it was way bigger than this every single year.
Okay.
It was because it was year in and year out, 50 wins.
Right.
So the Mavericks were a title contender for the most part, every year from about 2003 on. 2003 to 2011, with the exception of a couple years where they had a little bit of roster turnover, they were a legitimate, there's title hopes. Here it's just playoff hopes right now.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because you got to get there before, you got to win 40 games, and you got to make the playoffs and lose in the playoffs before you can start making your runs. That's the way the NBA has this attrition thing where you gotta take your lumps, and teams go through it every year. The Sixers are going through it right now. Right, they went through it the last couple of years. You got to do that, unless you just get LeBron and Wade and Bosch together all at the same time. And even then, you got to take your lumps in the finals.
No question. Yeah, I mean, it still has to go all together as well. But I think it's going to be very interesting to watch. Also, this weekend, a very interesting Cowboys game. They need to get back on track against the Jets. If they don't, big trouble ahead. We will talk to Mickey Spagnola at the Star. Coming
we'll find
up
out
when the Fan returns.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Dallas Cowboys 7-point favorites again against the New York Jets this Sunday in New Jersey. A must-win game. I think this is a game where there's any, I mean, you want to talk about a hot seed, right? All this different talk. They better take care of business even with Sam Darnold back. And I think the Jets are a little better than what they've shown to this point. But if the Cowboys do not show up and play a great game, Chop, I think this could be a big problem going forward in the weeks ahead.
Dude, they lose this game. It's not so much like it's a season crippler, but you're going to have to steal a win from a team that you didn't expect to beat, right? You're going to have to steal a win if you don't win this game. And at the end of the day, this is a bad football team, the Jets. They're probably better than their record because they haven't had their quarterback the entire time, and they were projected to win 7.5 games in Vegas, yada, 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 which we were only projected to win 8.5, 9. So that just shows you how close these two teams theoretically were before the season. You got to win it, though. This is an expected win.
It is an expected win, but you never know. When a guy's coming back from mono, he could just make everyone sick on the field.
Hey!
Mickey Spagnola, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, when's the last time you had mono?
Never.
Yeah. Well, excuse me,
wow.
Superman.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
You guys have had it?
I've had it.
Yeah, I had it a couple years ago.
Yeah. I got straight A's that 6 weeks in high school. It was amazing because I stayed home and studied. Should the Cowboys really be worried about Sam Darnold?
I don't know if they should be worried about Sam Darnold. I'd be worried about Le'Veon Bell because that's been their kryptonite here, you know, in these last losses.
Are you sure? Because I have him in my fantasy football league, and he ain't doing crap.
Who, Darnold or Bell?
Bell.
Well, maybe with Darnold there, they'll be able to get Bell going because somebody can maybe throw the ball a little bit. But the Cowboys have had problems with running backs, right?
They've had problems with running backs, Mickey, and it's been almost the exact same look and run over and over and over again.
Yeah, right up the middle, right?
Right up the middle, right at that nose tackle that's in between the guard and the center. How do they fix it? I mean,
well,
I'm sure
maybe
they're all
Antoine
over
Woods helps it out.
True.
But they were having problems when he was there, although in that Rams game in the first quarter he tore his pec and continued to play, why he missed most of the offseason after having that surgery to fix his shoulder. They got to be better. And maybe a little less aggressive. You know, it's this thing about getting up the field's great, but they're running you up the field and then running right past you. They've got to be better. I'm not so worried about Darnold as I would be the Jets if they can get their running game going, which, by the way, they haven't.
They haven't yet.
They've averaged 65 yards rushing a game.
Yeah, their line stinks.
Yeah.
And they probably ain't going to get it going.
Better take advantage of that. And okay, here's how bad the Jets are. I just went on the New York Daily News website for the sports, and I think I counted 10 stories before I got one about the Jets, and it was yesterday's story. Nothing new today.
Well, I mean, it is baseball. It is a baseball town.
Well, it's baseball town, but I think the third or fourth story was the WNBA.
It's basketball town, too.
Hey, yeah.
Basketball mecca.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Why do you hate women, Mickey?
Yeah, then it was college. I mean, it went on and on and on before I found the story on the Jets. Mm.
Overall, Mickey, to get on track, you were mentioning a second ago the aggressiveness on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Cowboys fans have been asking for the opportunity to see Dak Prescott, this offense, take shots down the field. And there have been more interceptions that are thrown. But that, to me, what I've been trying to tell Choppy all morning is that if you're going to beg for them to take shots, there's going to be risk involved. And just because it hasn't gone well the last 2 weeks with the interceptions, but the numbers have been huge. And I think, except for a couple mistakes, they're right in these games. Are you wanting them to pull back on the reins, or are you happy with what you've seen overall through 5 games?
No, I think catch the ball. Don't drop it into an interception.
Sure.
And you know, don't have your wide receiver interfered with when you're throwing timing passes. Remember, everybody wanted Dak to throw the guy open. Well, when the guy gets his head yanked off and you've already thrown the ball because it's a timing pass and gets intercepted, well, is that his fault? You know, he threw one interception. You know, the Hail Mary against the Saints, big deal, right?
Yeah, first of all, I'm a big believer that interceptions should not just be tallied based on how many you throw. A ball that tips off a receiver is not an interception on the quarterback.
Yeah, and if there's interference going on, you got to look inside it. You can't just throw out the numbers. And,
right.
You know, he had one bad interception, but if you're throwing 40 passes in a game or however many he threw, you know, chances are you're going to have one, you know.
Yeah.
Bart Starr, Troy Aikman, they threw interceptions.
I know. Aikman threw almost as many as touchdown passes throughout his career.
Early in his career.
Yeah. Now, like, it's, you know, there's, Matt Stafford last year only threw, 13 or 14 picks, or maybe it was the year before, but he had 26 interceptable balls.
Yeah, you know.
And sometimes you're just lucky.
And the key thing is don't fall behind by 28 points.
Yep.
Because then they know you got to throw, right? And then they pin their ears back, you know, and for, you know, all week long, we talk about injuries, right? Injuries. Oh, what's the update? Oh, they're going to be without Tyron Smith. So then they're without Tyron Smith, and nobody makes a big deal out of the guy that took his place and wasn't even close to being average. You know, the injuries count. I think it's very noble, next man up and all that stuff. But there's a reason why the guy's the next man up, because he's not good enough to be the man.
And so,
you know, that hurt the offense also when your left tackle can't stand up against a pass rush. And when they know, you got to throw the ball, then it makes it even worse. Now, do you want to cut back on your offense and give the guy help? Because they certainly needed to give Cam Fleming more help on the left side over there. You know, it wasn't just the two sacks. It's the pressures. There was four of them from Za'Darius Smith. It was the penalties, the holds. They struggled over there. So if they can get Tyron Smith back in this game, I think it helps out greatly. Now you got to compensate on the other side, because I don't think Lael Collins will make it back. Now, if he does, it'll be a last-minute thing, and they'll have to brace him up with a sprained MCL. You know, those things usually take a couple weeks at the minimum to get back. So these injuries are real. But it doesn't get pointed out after the game. The only thing that gets pointed out is the result. And I'm not saying that was the only reason they struggled, because they were moving the ball and they turned it over. But there were sacks in there that caused some drives to get canceled out. So that's got to be fixed if they're going to be an offense that's going to score some points.
Mickey, after the three-game winning streak, it seemed like everybody was ready to plan the Super Bowl parade. And even in Las Vegas, they had the Cowboys as the favorites out of the NFC to win the NFC Championship and get to the Super Bowl. Now, after these back-to-back losses, the Cowboys are fifth in the NFC to reach the Super Bowl behind the Saints, 49ers, Packers, and Eagles.
Welcome to the NFL.
Has your opinion changed?
No,
of what
it
this
hasn't.
Team's potential
this is
has
still,
been?
This is still a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They got to just quit making mistakes. It's not like they're incapable of scoring points. It's not like they're incapable of playing defense. They just got to quit making mistakes. They could have scored with the Saints if they don't get those goofy interceptions. I mean, with the Packers,
right?
If they don't get the goofy interceptions, they could have won the game against the Saints if you don't lose two fumbles or one fumble and have the video review. Somebody looked at it blindly and didn't see an elbow on the ground. But again, sometimes you have to be better than your mistakes, and they haven't reached that point yet that they are good enough to erase some of the mistakes they've made in the game. You know, they're not good enough to miss a 33-yard field goal when you have a chance to make it a one-score game and have an opportunity to kick an onside kick, even though the odds against recovering are pretty bad. But still, you would have had that opportunity. You can't do that. You got to make a 33-yard field goal. So those are the things that have gotten in their way, and it clouds what I think the talent is on this team. I don't think we were all wrong about how talented this team is. They just need to play better and more consistently.
Mick, my man Positive Pat here, had the Cowboys number 4 in his weekly power rankings. Is he crazy?
I don't think so. If you're looking at the record, yeah, probably not at 3-2. But I still think that they've got potential to be a very, very good team. And, it's 5 games in, so And, you know, I'll remind you what Bill Parcells taught us. Let's get to Thanksgiving, and then we'll decide what you are.
I thought you are what your record said you were. You said a lot of things. Well, some of them contradicted each other.
Yeah, you are what your record is, but he always would say, make that decision after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like anybody in baseball, if you make a strong take on a team April 15th, you're just not doing your job.
I mean, are we burying the Stars with a 1-3 start?
Yes, they are terrible.
No, shouldn't be.
Right, just right.
They keep losing one-goal games.
They had leads in a couple of those games, too, and blew as well. But they got a win last night off the schneid, 1-3.
If they can just make the first save of the game, they'll be better off.
Goodness, that is true, but it's going to be a long season, and I think they have a chance to make a run as well. Mickey Spagnola brought to us by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. I will see you out at the Star in a few hours.
Okay, come
friend.
On out. We'll be here.
Very good. Hey, Chop, so your opinion overall has not changed on this Cowboys team. What did you have before the season? How many wins for the Cowboys?
It's 10 or 11.
I had 11.
It was a double digit. It was double digits. It was probably 10.
I do think people are forgetting. Remember now, I mean, the schedule's tough, okay? But they have four games total against the Redskins and the Giants, and to me that was four wins that I just kind of put
absolutely,
in there.
Absolutely, totally agree.
So now you're left with 12 games, and so the question is, can they go 7-5 in those last 12 games?
Yeah.
They've already lost two of those other 12 games now. So, if I had to repick, I might slide them down to 10 wins, and so they're going to be battling with Philadelphia for that for the East. Obviously, the head-to-head matchup starting next week on Sunday Night Football. How good is that going to be?
It's going to be very good. Now, I'm already behind on my prediction.
Okay.
So I had them, I think it was a 10, but I had them going like 7 or 8-1.
Okay.
You know, to start the year. I had them losing to the Saints and beating the Packers. But if you look at it, you know, Minnesota, I've changed my mind on that one. I probably have them winning that game, but
less confident now in Minnesota than you were at the beginning of the
year.
Absolutely. Because I'm more confident in Minnesota. I think their ability to run the ball is special.
It's very good.
I mean, Dalvin Cook looks like, short of Christian McCaffrey, the best running back in the NFL so far this season from what we've seen. We should have known. Gary Kubiak, wherever he goes, teams run the football extremely well. And there they are. They're doing it again.
Detroit on the road scares me.
Tough.
I like that team. The Patriots, obviously.
Obviously.
The Bills scare me. The Bears don't. I'm not afraid of the Bears.
I agree with you. I think that at some point, this Cowboys offense is going to get to most teams. I know it didn't happen against New Orleans and the Saints. What happened in that game is the Saints have played man-to-man almost exclusively the entire year, and out of nowhere, they played almost exclusively zone in that game. And it's, you know, the Cowboys just did not adjust very well to that. Kellen Moore's a first-year offensive coordinator. Should have been ready for it. You got to be ready for everything. But there were a couple of times that made a huge impact in that game, and I think that, you know, if they play again, I think the Cowboys have a great chance to beat the Saints.
Shocker, it's going to come down to Philadelphia on the road on week 16.
Right.
That's just the shocker of the year.
It's,
nobody could have predicted that.
2 days before Christmas, man. That's going to be amazing. I'm going to that game, by the way. Cannot wait to be in Philly for that atmosphere.
It's the 22nd.
Yep. I'll be in Jersey this weekend as well. You'll be watching the game here, and obviously the game will be on 105.3 The Fan.
Yep, pregame with Ari and myself.
Very good. How's it going, by the way? You enjoying that?
I am. It's fun. It's fun to be back
out
there.
You do a great job. That's what
I
mean.
Thank you.
I
appreciate it.
When I'm driving in, I'm listening to you, and I just, I mean, do you like it?
Yeah, it's fun. I've never done the post game before.
Okay.
Now, I've done post game before with the Cowboys, but not in my present role with the Fan. In years past, I had done it, and it was, you know, the post game was more free flowing, a lot of fun. I always enjoyed it more than the pregame, but I like doing both of them. I like being out the stadium. Okay. And at the games.
Yeah, the atmosphere is the best.
You know, to me, you get into this business to be at sporting events, not to be in a studio. So I enjoy that.
It's my favorite part of the job as well. Hey, coming up, we're going to crosstalk with the Ben and Skin Show, getting ready for what they have coming up. That's when we're back here on The Fan. Another beautiful morning in North Texas. Hi, everybody. I'm Pat Doney from NBC5, filling in for Sean Sharif this morning. He is out with an allergy crisis, which is bad for radio, I'm told. Maybe not quite so bad on TV. You can try and kind of manufacture your way through it. But on the radio, okay, that's true.
Wow.
Touche.
I would have fought through it.
You think you would have done?
Well, I just want to say this. So today, Jonathan Shippy Shipman is plagued with the exact same thing, and it's bad, really, really bad.
Okay. He's not doing well today.
But he's here.
I was just saying, I just said what's up to him in the hallway.
Yeah,
so
yeah, he's here. Well, just because he's able to play hurt, you know, because he cares about the team.
Well, dude, I mean, it's worse for Sean because when you have an allergy issue, you have an allergy issue, you can't go taste expensive steaks the way that you want to.
Yeah, that's right.
That's so true. He's really got to get on the mend so he can enjoy fancy dinners again.
And I feel bad for him because he can't eat his leftovers now either.
Right. That's right. Oh, geez. But his hands are so small that when he tries to hold a Kleenex, it's like us holding a blanket. You know, it's like it's hard to sneeze in.
Yeah. No. Boys, I need your help with something. So, as you guys know, so my son has cerebral palsy. He's 4 years old, and he's pushed in these races, this group called Team Hoyt Texas, right? They push kids with special needs in these races, these 5K, 10K, and half marathon races. It's like his favorite thing other than Peppa Pig on the planet, right? And so my wife decided a few months ago she was going to start pushing him in these races. So she's done three of them now, which is awesome, right? So I go with my daughter, who's six, and we like cheer him on. Hey, that's great. Whatever. I got the dreaded question.
Dude.
And I know you know where I'm going on this right now. So,
Pat,
when are you going to take a turn?
Let me just add on to this. If you were really committed, you need to push him in a Peppa Pig costume.
I was going
to
say, he loves the pig and he loves the races. I don't love running long distance. I mean, it's just not my thing. Like, cardio is what? How do you? So yesterday, it's a beautiful day. I mean, that's been my excuse, you know, for a while. Has been it's so hot outside, babe. Like, I'm just gonna go the gym, you know, whatever treadmill, you know, elliptical, that kind of deal. Yesterday, it's like 62 degrees in the morning. It's just like let's go run and push him. You know, in this, we'll run a 5K in our neighborhood. I ran a 5K in our neighborhood yesterday. I'm dying today.
How are the shin splints after running on the concrete?
My hamstrings are not feeling awesome. I'm going to be icing on the drive home here after the show. And
you got to foam roll, man. You got to foam roll it.
First of all, how would you feel if you ran a 5K today out of nowhere? No training, by the way.
I mean, I wouldn't make it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even know what it feels like because I wouldn't do it.
I would have to do the 30-second jog, 30-second walk. No, 30-second jog, 2-minute walk, 30-second jog. I'd have to.
A Tabata, a HIIT workout.
Yeah.
Up and down.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, you've lost like. How many pounds have you
I've
lost?
I've lost 1,000 pounds.
I was gonna say at
thank
least
you,
900.
Soda, appreciate it. Thank you.
Soda weight loss.
All by drinking soda.
But I wouldn't run for anything. I wouldn't run for any amount of money. I just don't like it.
What about your special needs child? Because that's what I'm facing right now.
I would have already done it, Pat, for my child. So
Ben, will you run for Pat?
That's why I'm asking, are you available on Saturday for the 5K? You know?
This is what I like to do is I like to play basketball. And this whole day part change has really thrown a wrench into that for me. And so today I'm doing the show. I haven't showered. I came straight from playing basketball.
Oh, we know.
I would have made it, but I was in 2 hours of traffic. So I got to prep for my show by listening to you guys while I went 4 miles an hour on the tollway. But for running, like straight running, I can't do it. I can't. I couldn't do it for anything. Except that, and I would have already done it.
Yeah. Now, the example I gave Pat, since he's already done one running session.
You're going to be surprised to hear that RJ is the genius of how to get out of something. He's about ready to blow your mind because he blew mine.
You are a Seinfeld character.
Thank you. Since he already ran yesterday, it's simple. You go to a drugstore, Walgreens, CVS, whatever, buy yourself an $8 knee brace, and walk in. Man, I got some fluid on my knee or something today. I just can't run.
That's it.
You know, come up with an injury. Fake a back injury. If you have to go to a chiropractor to pull off the, you know, the prove it factor, the bit, you go to a chiropractor.
You know,
They'll find something wrong with you.
There's no such thing as going to a chiropractor and they're like, you're good.
Acupuncture.
No need to stay. You're on your way out of here, right?
This is a no-brainer. Go fake an injury. Because you have cause.
Right. Hold on. Your advice for the sweet, precious, special needs child who wants his dad to go run with him is to just fake his way out of it?
Absolutely.
Let me introduce you to RJ. Have you met RJ Choppy before?
Here's how you deceive the child in his dream.
You know what? He'll forget it later in life.
Yeah, he won't remember.
No.
He won't remember.
You're doing it. You can't get out of it. You're doing it.
You know I'm doing it.
I tell you what, if Nui was worth a damn as a teammate, he'd step up and help you out.
That's exactly
calling you out, Scruggs.
My knee's killing me. Nui, you're in. Tag you in or whatever, right?
I might run for you. I got to fit into a slim fit suit in a month, so I got to lose some weight anyway.
Hey, speaking of just like being out on a limb here, by the way, so these guys were killing me earlier because that microphone just swung around.
It happens.
I put the Cowboys in my top five still in the NFL. I'm not quite certain that what we've seen the last 2 weeks is not like repairable pretty quick. You guys think I'm crazy, too. Some of the fan textures said I was kind of smart, but I think Roy was being nice, choosing the nice ones that he was reading on the fan text.
In a related story, you also had the Mavs with the 3 seed.
I did not say that. That's a little high. You're lying. You're a four seed.
Come on, dude.
With the brand. No more than the four.
I haven't seen anything that would make me take them out of being in that same cluster I thought they were in 3 weeks ago.
Which is like...
You know, they're there with Seattle, and they're there... Who is the team in the NFC that's clearly better?
Well, they're fifth right now, according to Vegas. Vegas has the Saints, the Seahawks, the Eagles, and the Packers ahead of the Cowboys as the best odds to win. But it's close. And then they're tied... with somebody else. I can't remember. They're right there with like Seattle.
I mean, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
There's going to be highs. There's going to be lows. This is a low right now. So I applaud you for staying strong right now. I'm not negative about the Cowboys right now. I'm positive. But it is a bad little stretch. But like anything else, you got to see if they can pull out of it.
Yeah.
They're in a little bit of a nosedive. Can they pull out of it? And they probably will. I mean, God, they get to play the Jets.
Right.
So that's
any
fantastic.
Any concern Sunday at all? I mean, with the Jets, Darnold's back. They didn't look bad when he played against Buffalo. Buffalo's a good team, you know, so they've gotten blown out
The Jets are dead last in like five major offensive categories. Yeah. So if Sam Darnold is the difference in that, then he might be the best quarterback in the NFL.
I mean, he might be, though.
If Sam Darnold shows up and they're suddenly way better offensively.
You can't quantify how bad Luke Falk is.
Oh,
you just can't do it.
You can't.
Like, there's not a amount of numbers. So, like, Le'Veon Bell is like scrambling. Le'Veon Bell's still good, by the way. And he's just like scrambling to get back to the line of scrimmage because people are on him. Like, there's no fear of them throwing on first and second down with Luke Falk in the game.
Right.
So you're just, okay, we're just going to blitz every time. Like, it's been very easy for teams to get ready for the Jets. So I'm a little worried. The thing that I'm very optimistic about is Sam Darnold. Is he going to be in shape? I mean, he just started doing cardio again last week.
Yeah.
So, like, his strength is getting out of the pocket, extending plays, kind of a Cowboys Achilles heel, covering up and or stopping those improv plays, those off-schedule plays. That's what Sam Darnold's really good at. So, again, I'm not worried about the Jets. I think the Cowboys win it pretty easily. But Robbie Anderson's a good player. He has 11 catches this year. He can't get the ball because Luke Falk was his quarterback.
You don't think you don't think he was doing gassers?
No.
Sam Darnold's doing gassers with a large spleen and mono?
I'm more worried about him getting mono all over the ball and getting some of our players sick. I think that's the bigger concern.
I'm more worried about him getting sacked and it hurting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
could pop a spleen,
Don't rush out there with the
spleen.
Chris Sims got a spleen
taken by Thomas Davis, I think is who hit him.
Doesn't hurt Jay Witt. He just keeps going, bro.
I don't know how he did that, man.
Punctured lung. We're not going to stop. Nothing's going to stop us
right now. Nothing stops me. I'm not going to let Parcells call me a P ever.
So you guys, the all right.
Get off the training table.
You guys haven't changed your opinion drastically from 3-4 weeks ago to today just because of the two losses, or you're about where you were?
It's impacted me for sure. Okay. Like, after the first three games, I was planning the back-to-back parade. Okay, not even the Super Bowl parade for this year, but next year's Super Bowl parade. And it has impacted me a little bit, but it's not some wild thing where, oh, my God, they're trash now. You know, they're going to have a top 10 pick. I just like, okay, there's some holes in the boat. The hole with, you know, their lack of run defense, that's a problem. That's a sizable hole. You can still patch that up and fix that. I don't think their linebackers are as bad as they're playing right now, so I have confidence they can turn it around. And the offense, you know, they put up a ton of yards. They had no problem moving the ball. They just had a few key mistakes.
Ridiculous mistakes. Yeah. And so I wanted to ask you about your opinion. I haven't talked to you about Dak since, you know, August.
Yeah.
There are obviously questions going into the season, this amount of money that's being thrown out there. He looks like an MVP the first 3 weeks. Last 2 weeks, I mean, how have you been on your up and down? Because I know you were a critic of him before.
Absolutely.
But obviously he looked amazing the first 3 weeks, and it's kind of come back to earth now.
I wouldn't have given him the job. I wouldn't have let him hold that job that whole rookie year. I would have given Romo a shot. I thought they had a better shot at winning a Super Bowl with experience back there. I understand why they didn't do it. I understand it was a complicated decision. I personally would have given the ball back to Romo. That said, well, he digressed from there. He, the league figured him out a little bit. He had to make adjustments. It was not going in a good way.
Yeah.
Now, this offseason, he improved mightily. And we started hearing that, working with Kitna, his footwork. And
a coach named John Beck out in California was his QB coach. Whatever he did,
the
worked.
Accuracy is way improved. And so he took that next step. And so, yeah, I've been really impressed by the way he's played. And I'm not suddenly jumping off that bandwagon and saying, oh, my God, a couple bad games. Look, any quarterback, if they're under duress, is not going to look as good as they do when they have all day in the pocket. I think, if anything, this shows how good Tyron Smith is and how much they need him. So, that said, I mean, at this point, you're just begging Dak not to take the whole pie. Because he can't, if he wants 40, he can ask for 40, and that's the road we'll go down. Hopefully, he'll just take 30, 32, something like that, and that would be fantastic. But I have no problem. I think he's a franchise quarterback. I'm not worried about these last two games.
What do you guys have coming up on the show?
Man, we've got an action-packed show. We got lots of good Cowboy stuff, but I'm most excited about an array of sports audio that KT has collected called our sports audio drive-thru at 11:40. Some stuff that's football-related, kind of funny at the same time. So I think that's going to be the highlight of the day. We do power ranking stuff on Wednesday. Got a lot of good stuff to get into, but a ton of football, and we'll get into it right off the top.
It's the best time of year, man. October, yes. Overlapping with hockey, and then here comes the NBA, you know, and the Mavs back in action tonight.
Hey, we'll get ready, too, for a little Texas OU. We're doing something every day starting today, and we have Kevin Dunn from the Horn down in Austin.
Love
so that's
that.
Happening at 11:20.
One thing I love about that game this Saturday, it's going to be like 60 degrees, which
yes,
is the first time in
finally.
Forever that it hasn't been like a fryer during the game, right? It's been
Are
on
you
fire
allowed to call
days.
It the horn down in Austin because you can't do horns down?
Oh, good point. I might have offended some
yeah.
people.
Yeah, that's the horn over in Austin.
Sorry. Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
It's so embarrassing.
It's terrible, right?
It's really
yeah.
offensive.
Awful.
I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Hey, yep. Chop, thanks for letting me hang with you again this morning, man.
Thanks for coming in. Maybe the allergies are still here and you'll be in tomorrow.
You never know. Never had a know. Lot of fun this morning. Ben and Skin coming up next when we're back on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.